never wanted to be in a fancy metropolitan broadcast facility where the most thought-provoking thing within view is an occasional four-car pileup on the freeway below. We like being miles from nowhere, in the middle of a vineyard that cannot be seen from the little two-lane road on the other side of that rise. Our barn has awesome acoustics and was built with hand tools over 100 years ago. Nonetheless, we've got some really state-of-the-art broadcast technology inside. And our wine cellar, once a root cellar that is absolutely packed with wine we've collected or been given by friends. Welcome. You have just set foot on Grape Encounters radio property, where we don't believe in no trespassing signs. But let's make this our little secret. Oh, and that wine is protected by the sweetest-looking golden retriever who dated a Doberman for a while, so don't get any ideas.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
Man, oh man, did I have a grape encounter of the worst kind last weekend. I'll tell you what, if you are a member of the Grape Encounters Facebook group page, then you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you don't. But for those of you who sent me condolence letters, I really, really appreciate it because it was one of the most heartbreaking things, honestly, that's ever happened to me.
Are you okay, David?
Oh, that would be Larry Gifford, our chief wine news correspondent. You're not supposed to be in here yet.
Oh, but I'm concerned about you. You're wiping
a lot of
tears.
A lot of people were concerned about me because let me tell you the story, okay? So we're going down to where my parents live, which is about a 3.5-hour drive from where my wife and I live. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I'm thinking to myself that there's a friend, Eric, that I hadn't seen in a long time who works in the Ganey tasting room. Now, Ganey being a Santa Ynez, California winery that makes some terrific wines. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought we were running a little ahead of schedule. We'll stop in there. My wife had never met Eric. We go in there. Eric's not there. But in the meantime, I start talking to who I think was the tasting room manager, and we start tasting these wines, and I hadn't had the Ganey wines in a really long time. They were so good. They were delicious. Next thing you know, I'm buying wine like mad.
There's nothing sad about that.
There's nothing sad about that. When it was all over, I actually bought a case of wine.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I put the wine in the back of my soccer mom SUV, even though I don't have any soccer kids, but I look like a soccer mom when I drive in this. But that's what it's for, because I carry around a lot of cases of wine, right?
Sure.
Well, a friend of my wife had asked if we would pick up some wine from the legendary Turley Winery.
Oh, yeah.
Which is near where we live, and deliver it down to him because we were going to see him too on this trip. So there wasn't any more room in the back of the SUV. So I put my Ganey wine on top of the Turley wine. I introduced them. They got along fine. We got on the road, except there's a big windy road that we have to go up and down. Okay. You know how when you get on an airplane, Larry, and they say that things may shift in the overhead bin?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we stop for gas, right? And after we get the gas and use the restroom and buy some Diet Coke or whatever, we go back out to the car. By the way, this gas station was amazing. It had this like high-end cafe in it. I've never seen a gas station, you know, with a totally marble bathroom that you can't scratch graffiti into and stuff, which was disappointing. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, we go back out to the car, and there was something I wanted to grab in the back of the car. I open up the hatchback, and all of a sudden, this entire case of Ganey wine falls out of the back end of the SUV. And as it's going down, I'm trying to catch it. I'm scrambling. I'm slicing my hand, my finger open. There's blood everywhere. There's wine everywhere. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, God, how many broken bottles are we talking here? Because it wasn't the cheap stuff, right? And when the dust had lifted and they saw what had occurred, I had lost more than a third.
Oh, nuts.
Anyway, so the good news is I lost a Sauvignon Blanc, which my wife didn't care for that much. Not that she didn't like it. That's just not her varietal, right? In the meantime, I got a finger that's spurting blood. So we go back inside and, you know, all the people who work in this gas station are wearing like tuxedo vests and tuxedo pants. Yeah.
Where were you?
This was in Camarillo, California.
Wow.
So everybody inside is wearing tuxedo vests. And there's this really nice guy that my wife had complimented his hair because it was like a mohawk times 10. It was, you know, like the whole thing went up like alfalfa.
Sure.
Does anybody know what that means anymore?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So he sees me bleed. First, he comes out and he cleans up all the glass, which was a mess. And I'm telling you, there's wine. By the way, I lost some Merlots too. That was tragic. But the wine is flowing down the driveway of the gas station. And you know what's worse is everybody's looking at me. And you know they're laughing and pointing.
I would have.
I'm glad I'm on radio and not television because, you know, a lot of people don't know what I look like. Thank goodness. But anyway, so the guy says, oh, we need to take care of you. And he said, tells me to come in. He says, you need some oxygen water. I don't know what that means. I thought he was just going to give me a glass of water or something. I go in there and I'm just covered in blood at this point in time. I go in there. The guy, he says, hang on a second. Stand right there. He goes off in the back of this cavernous like gas complex with all these restaurants and stuff. And finally, like literally about 5 minutes later, he comes out and I've got this paper towel that's like drenched with blood and he puts on rubber gloves. Two rubber gloves. I'm thinking, what do you need rubber gloves for?
You know, maybe this is something I know.
It's not one of those exams. And I'm still lamenting the wine. Like, I don't even care about my finger. It's like, I couldn't have cared less if I had cut my finger off. I just am lamenting the wine. So he then puts on the rubber gloves. He looks at me and I swear to you, he says, I'm just going to put in a few quick stitches.
What?
He says, I'm just going to put in a few quick stitches. I said, that is not going to happen. So he goes, and he just laughs at me. And it was really pretty funny. And then he washes off my hand, my bloody hand. And then he sprays some stuff on that stung like you know what. And then he puts gauze all around my finger. And then he puts on my finger this, because one finger was really bad. He puts on this rubber. I could describe what it really looks like.
Sure.
But I'm not going to. It's, have you ever seen those? It's just like a rubber sleeve. It's like one sleeve of a rubber glove over it. Okay. Which after a little while really cut off the circulation of my finger. Anyway, I thank him. We get down the road. I'm thinking I should have tipped him. I didn't because I couldn't get my hand in my pocket. Uh-huh. My hand hurt so much. Wow. No excuse, right?
No.
So we go on.
You seem to have that problem everywhere we go.
Before we're going to mom and dad's house, we're going to Annie's friend's house who wants me to MC this $1,000 a person wine tasting in the Beverly Hills Bel Air area.
Okay.
And he wants to talk about that. So we go down there. We go to his house. He's got this woman that lives there temporarily who he says isn't his girlfriend, but if he was any kind of a guy, that would be his girlfriend. She's beautiful. It's a whole strange experience because he's a real big wine guy, loves wine, has a cellar full of incredibly old wines and stuff. But in the meantime, he and she kept bringing out all these hors d'oeuvres and trying these exciting wines on us and stuff like that. And now he wants to take me to the venue where they're going to have this event where they have five world-class sommeliers there, and he wants me to see the operation. Okay, my finger's still throbbing, right? So he says, why don't you girls go in one car, and David and I will go in another car. By the way, I'd never met this guy. So we get in his car, right? I roll down my window to hang my throbbing finger out the window. Guess what happens next? He reaches over to his controls and rolls up the windows.
No. And your finger stick in there?
Look how purple my finger is.
Oh, and no.
Can you believe that? He almost cut my finger off.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know he didn't even give me a good bottle of wine to apologize for what he did?
Did he give you anything?
No.
Oh. Poor Dave.
So then he takes me to this she place, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm dressed in the official David Wilson Grape Encounters uniform, which would be what?
Hawaiian shirt.
Tommy Bahama Hawaiian shirt. And by the way, Tommy Bahama, you should be a sponsor of this show. And jeans, right? And I'm wearing tennis shoes. And this place is like black tie.
Uh-oh.
So I have to go up the service elevator. I'm not to see this fancy wine room, and he's telling everybody to crowd around me so they can't see my tennis shoes because I'm going to get thrown out for that.
Wow.
And that was my weekend.
Well, I'm sorry about your finger.
You know, the first thing I did when I got back to my home?
open up a bottle of wine.
Yeah, what kind?
I don't know, David.
Well, of course, I opened up a bottle of the wine that, you know, was
they
left.
Cut you?
Yeah, exactly.
So it cut you, so you drank it.
Oh, yeah. Revenge. Anyway, and I learned something really interesting. It was the wine bottles that had thin glass that broke, and the ones like Syrah bottles that are thicker didn't break.
Oh.
So I'm only going to buy expensive wines in thick bottles from now on. And that's our news for the day. Thank you.
Well, that's quite a story.
We just talked a whole segment of Grape Encounters about my finger in the wine. But anyway, is breaking a lot of wine at the same time bad luck? Is it like seeing a black cat or walking under a ladder?
Only if the bottles are mirrored.
Here's a funny thing. Life is in balance, Larry. In the couple of days since that happened, friends have all brought me wine.
Oh.
And now I have more wine than I had before I lost my gainy wine.
So, like condolence wine?
Condolence wine. And oh, by the way, I told this story in very brief form on Facebook. People were sending me like rest in peace notes and condolences. I think our listeners really understand just how tragic such a thing is.
It is a tragedy in 10th degree.
But the truth of the matter is, if you're a good person, and I hope that I'm a good person, you may lose your gainy, but you may gain in the end. Larry, can we just hold the news off till we come back from break?
Your show, whatever you want to do, Dave.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to have to bump the Pope, who's going to be on the show today.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Can we just get the Pope on another time?
Another time.
All right. That's it. Okay. So we'll be back with the Grape Encounters news in just a second. Listen, protect your wine. Protect your wine. And we will return after this with our chief wine news correspondent, Larry Gifford.
Larry Gifford. Lawrence Gifford.
If you love wine, then you probably love to travel too. And there are two places you should really visit soon. The best part is, you don't even have to pack a bag or leave your house. If you're looking for adventures in wine, log on to grapeencounters.com. There you'll find an audio library of more than 300 stories that will take you virtually anywhere you want to go. At grapeencounters.com, you'll find short subjects as well as full stories. All audio can be downloaded with one click, and you'll be amazed at the broad range of subject matter. Another place you really should visit is our Facebook group page. Simply search for Grape Encounters Radio or click on the link on our website. The Grape Encounters Radio group has become a formidable place for wine lovers to exchange ideas, introduce products, and share upcoming events. If you're not already a group member, then join the party on Facebook. Grape Encounters is more than a radio broadcast. It's a family of like-minded, fun-loving, unpretentious wine lovers. Come fill up your glass today.
This is David Wilson, and I want you to sail with me from Rome to Barcelona on one of the most luxurious cruise ships in the world, the completely reimagined Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Every year, I take listeners on a luxury voyage sure to create unforgettable memories. And next May, from the 10th to the 17th, our itinerary will include some of my favorite places on the planet. And I'll be there to make sure that your travel experience is purely amazing. Imagine visiting incomparable Rome, Florence, Portofino, Provence, and breathtaking Barcelona. The ports will be spectacular, and your elegant suite with a private patio will astound you. Book now and get 2-for-1 fares, free round-trip air, $200 shipboard credit, plus you pay nothing extra for wine, cocktails, shore excursions, even tips are included. For more information, click the link at grapeencounters.com. I've got a luxury cabin with your name on it. Click on the link now at grapeencounters.com.
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine. Today's top news, trends, and stories. Here's what we've encountered. This is Grape Encounters News. I'm just secondhand news. I'm just secondhand
news. Yeah. And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio. And Larry, thank you for indulging me that story.
Sure. Well, yeah, I was just thinking, a couple weeks back, we did a story about a titanium wine carrying case that you can use on the airplane.
So I feel an I told you so coming
and
here.
You made fun of that.
I know.
Okay. And you could have used that this past weekend.
I know. What's in the news, Larry?
Winemakers will soon be able to spy on their grapevines thanks to drone technology.
They already spy on each other's grapevines.
FAA is finally offering some exemptions to the current commercial drone use ban. And in the world of wine, that means some farmers can hire outside companies to monitor their crops and survey their fields.
Yeah, they fly over them with the little drones with cameras. And by the way, I was in an Apple store and they sell those for like $450 or something like that.
Well, you can get the personal use drones. And
guess what? If you use the personal use drone for commercial reasons,
get trouble.
You get fined. I was told by a guy who wanted to do this that the fine's $10,000. You can fly around and buzz your neighbor's dog, but if you want to use it to check on your grapes, you have to have a pilot's license.
If you're paying somebody. So if you're not doing it yourself.
You mean I can do it on my own crops?
If you're flying a drone and you don't have a license and
that's
you're
so
being
stupid.
Paid to fly that drone.
That's ridiculous. If I hook a camera to a kite and fly it over the vineyard, I'm going to get a $10,000 fine.
Only if somebody's paying you to fly that car.
All right. Okay. By the way, a lot of winemakers use satellite to monitor their grapes now. We had Christian Rogan, a fantastic bubbly maker, on. He was telling me about that. Okay.
So there needs to be a certified pilot. They need to keep their maintenance records, and they need to be teamed with a ground observer. So.
Oh, please.
Yeah, there's some regulations.
Oh, please.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is getting into the wine.
I bet they don't have laws like this in Russia.
I bet they might.
Okay.
He purchased a mansion in Spain for about $25 million.
Why didn't he buy one in Russia? Why would he stick $25 million into the Spanish economy?
He loves Spain. That's what it is.
Oh, he
planted 25 rare Tempranillo vines and the same plants that produce the grapes that are used in making the Pingas wine, one of the most coveted wines in Spain, let alone the world.
Yes, indeedy.
Each bottle costs about $1,200 US.
Well, hopefully he'll be a better winemaker than, well, never mind. I'm not getting political here.
The winemaker behind Pingas has also been hired by Putin to tend to the crop and make the wine for Putin.
Everybody's getting into the wine business.
Yes. So I'm told, my sources, that the wine will be stored in French oak barrels inside two huge underground cellars.
Does he even like the French?
He likes the French oak.
He likes the French oak?
Yeah.
Is that crazy? All right.
I don't know what's crazy. If you got money.
You know what? Sometime down the road, we got to get some Putin wine in here.
Well, let's get Putin on the
air. Let's get a little Putin Pinot.
No. U.S. wine sales are up for the 22nd consecutive year, but just barely, 0.03%.
Boy, is that barely. That, by the way, is just your increased consumption
that's right.
That's a shocking number because for at least the last decade, wine consumption has been skyrocketing.
Well, yeah. So in the last 10 years, wine sales in the U.S. have increased by nearly 100 million cases per year. That's 9-liter cases, amounting to over $12 billion additional dollars in sales.
So why did they think it's slowed down so much?
I don't know that they think it's slowed down.
It's that dastardly craft beer.
Maybe it is.
I mean, nothing against it, but those craft beer people have been watching the wine industry, and they're so jealous, and they're making some really good beer. Anyway, all right, what else?
The Grinch found Thomas Keller's famed French Laundry restaurant on Christmas.
Oh, my gosh, I know this. So hold on, I got to play something.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I love that song. By the way, this is really just a sidebar.
Okay.
But many years ago, I lived next door to the guy who wrote the music for The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Really?
His name was Al Haig, not the politician. He actually played Professor Shirovsky in the TV show Fame.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, one Christmas Eve, he invited me over and he played all the songs from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, sang them while he played on his baby grand with the Professor Shirovsky German voice, which really was his accent. But I digress. Let's tell this story.
Thieves jimmied the door and stole 76 bottles of rare wine.
How do you jimmy the door on the French Laundry?
No ticky, no laundry.
Some of these bottles were $15,000 each.
Why would they have a jimmyable door?
It's Thomas Keller's home. He basically lives on that same property. So.
Well, he didn't hear him jimmying the door?
Well, apparently not. So they ended up taking $300,000 worth of wine, including the DRC and Screaming Eagle and Dom Perignon. To his credit, Keller says, it was only wine.
When it costs $2,000 to $4,000 for a couple of people to get out of that place, I'm guessing that's really not that much wine.
No, I mean, he's like, nobody got hurt.
There are people that walk in there and that's one tab.
$300,000?
He's on the phone. Hey, Bill Gates, we've got a table open tomorrow night.
I ate at his Per Se restaurant in New York City, and you're not that far off.
I know. Anything else? What about the Pope story? This is my favorite story of them all, and we're just short on time.
Well, here we go.
Okay.
So I want to tell you about Tim Bush. He's the owner of Trinitas Cellars, and recently he presented Pope Francis with a bottle of his Cabernet Franc Cis.
That's a joke, right?
It's a joke. He highlighted the F-R-A-N-A and then has a little I-S.
How do you get to see the Pope and hand him a bottle of wine?
I don't know, but it was a clever, punny bottle that he no doubt was proud of. So he gave one to the Pope, and 11 of the remaining bottles of the case were handed out to his friends in Italy. And then the Pope's people called. Surprise! They want more of the wine, but he didn't have any more.
The Pope's got a sense of humor. Or he liked the Cabernet Franc, one of the two.
So Tim,
I'm thinking the Vatican gets some good wine. Do you know that the Vatican, per person, has the highest consumption of wine of all countries in the world?
Really?
They don't need to be drinking our wine.
Well, Tim quickly called his friends that he'd given these bottles to and said, hey, can I have that bottle back? The Pope called and he'd like some more of it.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to get the Pope on the line, or we're going to get Tim on the line. Yes.
I think we ought to dial up Tim Bush.
All right. Okay. That's going to do it for the news as we see it. Coming up next is a guy I haven't had on the radio for a really long time. He is an expert in little known varietals, and how he helps you remember them is he equates each wine to a famous personality. That's coming up next on Grape Encounters. If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's GrapeEncounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at GrapeEncounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
Choosing a gift bottle of wine for a wine lover can be tricky, but choosing a wine accessory that the wine enthusiast in your life will really love is a snap when you log on to GrapeEncounters.com. At GrapeEncounters.com, you'll find our top 10 gift-giving picks for wine lovers, and everyone is sure to be a hit. From exotic openers to wine toolkits and even breathalyzers to ensure safety, we've got plenty of inspiration for you. If you're looking for a wine-related gift for someone special, even yourself, get inspired at GrapeEncounters.com.
This is David Wilson, and I want you to sail with me from Rome to Barcelona on one of the most luxurious cruise ships in the world, the completely reimagined Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Every year, I take listeners on a luxury voyage sure to create unforgettable memories. And next May, from the 10th to the 17th, our itinerary will include some of my favorite places on the planet. And I'll be there to make sure that your travel experience is purely amazing. Imagine visiting incomparable Rome, Florence, Portofino, Provence, and breathtaking Barcelona. The ports will be spectacular, and your elegant suite with a private patio will astound you. Book now and get 2-for-1 fares, free round-trip air, $200 shipboard credit, plus you pay nothing extra for wine, cocktails, shore excursions, even tips are included. For more information, click the link at GrapeEncounters.com. I've got a luxury cabin with your name on it. Click on the link now at GrapeEncounters.com.
From the intersection of fermented and demented, your Grape Encounter continues with David Wilson and a little help from his friends.
The name game. Judy, Judy, Judy.
And we are back with Grape Encounters, and I am so pleased to have in the studio a guy who is not just a very smart wine guy, but incredibly funny. We have not had him in for a very long time, and so glad that he has relocated not far from our studios. It is Chris Kern. He is the brainchild behind the Forgotten Grape, and now he's got some new enterprises as well. And I think it's probably been at least a couple of years, Chris, since we've had you on the show, so welcome.
It has, David, and thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to get to sit and talk wine with you.
Okay, well, let's talk first about the Forgotten Grapes, because as far as I know, you're the only guy that is doing this, really focused on this. People have different areas of expertise, and your area of expertise is varietals that people may not be familiar with.
Absolutely. We love the obscure, the rare, the hard to find. That has been my lifeblood for the last nearly 10 years. Seeking out those obscure grapes that you hear about one farmer growing, one vineyard having, and finding those wines, tasting them, and doing my best to bring them out to the consumers.
And thanks to guys like you, people are becoming more and more adventurous.
It's true. It's been a sea
change.
Oh,
you just took credit for that.
I do. It's completely me. You can send the checks to Chris Kern, care of Forgotten Grapes. No, there has been a tremendous change in terms of people's curiosity and natural expression to want to try new things. It's kind of gone hand in hand with the craft beer movement and the foodie movement where everybody's looking for the new, the now, the next, the hippest thing. But the same thing is happening in the world of wine, and I'm glad Forgotten Grapes can be on the forefront.
But I'm still not eating Menudo. All right, so entice us with some Forgotten Grapes, and you do a very interesting thing, which is to make the grapes more understandable, you provide for them an alter ego in the form of people, celebrities that we're familiar with.
Exactly. What I did when I launched the ForgottenGrapes.com website many, many years ago was to take these unknown varietals and find a pop culture character, whether it be a celebrity, a fictional character, a book, a movie, something that shares a certain characteristic or story with that particular varietal, and to use that as the jumping off point to help better explain the grape to the average lay consumer.
Now, you do the same thing with known varietals as well, right? Some of those.
We have delved into a few of those. One of my personal favorites was actually featured in Cucina Italiana magazine, where we equated Chardonnay with Oprah.
Whoa. Chardonnay with Oprah.
I was both surprised by that comment and insulted.
Well, if you stop and think about it, it's one of the most ubiquitous grapes in the world. It's one that everybody knows. It's a bestseller. It's one of the most popular grapes out there. It can be done in a real fat style. It can be done in a very thin, lean style. But the bottom line is, when you put a bottle of Chardonnay in front of somebody, they're going to know exactly what it is and what they get. And the same is true with the illustrious Miss Winfrey. So,
okay. All right. How about another well-known grape so that we'll get the idea of how this works?
Sure. Well, Carmenere has been a grape that has become incredibly popular recently thanks to the imports into the U.S. from Chile. And we call Carmenere the Alec Baldwin of Forgotten Grapes.
Okay. How's that work?
So if you're familiar with the Carmenere grape, you know that it was one of the original six noble varietals of Bordeaux. But when phylloxera came through and wiped out nearly 100% of the vineyard crop throughout Europe and North America, Carmenere was such a difficult grape to grow and used in such small amounts that it was pretty much forgotten and thought to be extinct until it popped up in Chile growing there, and a French ampelographer discovered it in 1992. Alec Baldwin was, of course, a major movie star, not winning any awards, but, you know, holding his own in movies like Hunt for the Red October and The Getaway. Then he married Kim Basinger, and let's just say his career took a little bit of a nosedive, and he wasn't nearly as popular as he had been.
I'm here on a mission of mercy. Let's talk about something important.
Have I got your attention now?
It actually took him moving to a very obscure place not thought of for movie stars, in this case, sitcoms and television, to really reestablish himself and return to the A-list and in many ways become even more popular and more prestigious than he had been before. And Carmenere is the exact same way. It really had to go to Chile, where it was elevated to an A-list status.
And Carmenere is more of a kind of a rugged tasting varietal to me, a little edgy, like Alec Baldwin.
Absolutely. It definitely has some edginess.
It's not a sissy grape.
No, it's masculine. It's rough around the edges. It's a grape that you don't know if it's going to turn on you in any minute. And it could jet to Canada if something doesn't go its way very
and
quickly.
If you look at the grapes, they've actually got 2 days' growth of whiskers.
And they love their whiskey.
All right,
that's a whole other ballgame.
We're talking to Chris Kern. He is the brainchild behind the Forgotten Grape and some other enterprises that we'll talk about in just a minute. And what he does is he takes a personality and pairs the personality with a grape so that you can better understand these grapes that you're probably not familiar with, but you, of course, are familiar with the personalities. Now let's get into something more obscure.
Wow. Okay. One of my favorite obscure grapes, really grown in only two places in the United States is the Negrette grape.
Yes.
Grown here in the U.S. I should say two places in the world, not the United States. Grown in the Caleri Vineyard up in San Benito County here in California. And, of course, out in the Frontenay region of the southwest of France, very close to the Basque region. So we like to call Negrette the Marvin the Martian of forgotten grapes.
I do believe you are right.
Marvin the Martian.
Of course, you remember Marvin the Martian, nemesis of Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny from the old Looney Tunes cartoons. Marvin was small in stature, but big in attitude, always trying to take over whatever it was that he was involved with and trying to conquer the world, even if he quite couldn't. And that's exactly what Negrette does when it's used in wines. It tends to be a big, robust, thick-skinned, high tannic, high acid grape that really dominates the palate. So much so that the great wines from the Frontenay region in the southwest of France will actually blend back the Negrette with things like Cabernet, Merlot, Malbec, Syrah. And as I say, if you have to blend back a grape with Syrah, Malbec, or Cabernet, then you're looking at one big, robust, heady grape.
At long last, my dream come true.
But he was just a little Martian.
Yeah, but again, you know, small things, big attitudes. It's a lot like Chihuahuas. But maybe Negrette is the Chihuahua of forgotten grapes.
No, that's okay, because the Negrette is so rare that it really is alien to us.
That's an excellent point. Exactly. And it really does seem to exist on its own planet at times. And when you've had it, though, you never forget it. And Marvin's the same way.
So there was a story in the news just yesterday about the rover on Mars. Basically, they're going to shut it down because it's not providing any information anymore. And that really bothered me because I was really hoping that they would discover that there's wine on Mars.
How would there be wine on Mars, David? I'm fascinated by your theory.
I don't know. Anyway.
Just some random vines popping up from that Martian landscape.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be tremendous.
It doesn't grow anything but grapes up here.
The question is, who makes the run to go and harvest it?
I'm going to tell you, Constellation Brands, Gallo, even the Kendall Jackson family, they got enough bucks to put together a mission to Mars and cultivate grapes there.
Brace yourself for immediate disintegration.
I think they should get on the horn with Elon Musk right now and get a joint partnership.
You know what? They're making so much wine anyway that they're going to need another planet to continue to grow at the rate that they're growing.
It's true. And there is a producer called Martian Ranch down in San Barbara County anyway.
But we digress.
Exactly.
Okay. Time for one more.
Boy, there's so many. I'm trying to go through my Rolodex of grapes that I have and find one that fits in there. You know, one of my favorites is Petit Verdot. And it's rare to find 100% Petit Verdot, although it is starting to pop up here and there. I tend to equate Petit Verdot with the rhythm guitarist in a rock band. In fact, I sort of take Bordeaux and say the five noble grapes of Bordeaux are a classic rock band. You've got your lead singer and your lead guitarist, Cabernet and Merlot, who are always going back and forth to see which is dominant. Cab Franc is your bassist, kind of keeping the structure, keeping the bass through and through. Malbec is your drummer, the wild card that can just go off on its own or can really bring a lot to the band. And then you've got Petit Verdot, the rhythm guitarist used in small amounts. You rarely ever pick up an album and go, man, listen to that rhythm guitar in the background. It's really wailing. But if it wasn't there, you'd definitely know that it was gone. And every now and then you get a rhythm guitarist who can lead on his own, but it's still pretty rare.
Now, I'm going to say this about Petit Verdot. Anybody that listens to Grape Encounters on a regular basis knows that there are two varietals that I continue to say you should seek them out as single varietal wines. One is Petit Verdot. The other one is also a grape that starts with Petit Syrah. And Petit, by the way, referring to the size of the grape, not to the stature of the wine, because these are big wines when they're made right. I love Petit Verdot all by itself. And personally, when I go to a rock concert, and I go to many, I love that part in the show where everybody gets to do a solo, but especially I enjoy that rhythm guitar. And when that guy gets the opportunity, or lady gets the opportunity to cut loose, because you know that anybody that can hold a band and music together like that is somebody who also can stand on their own merits.
Exactly. It's deep down, you know that the Petit Verdot, the rhythm guitarist, wants to be the leader, wants to be that lead guitarist, but either through force of personality or just a lack of talent, hasn't quite gotten there yet. But the evolution evolution is always the fun thing to see.
So I'm thinking the Petit Verdot could also be somebody like Ross Perot, you know, somebody who's got a lot of power and has the wherewithal to be a very prominent figure, but is usually just lost in the shuffle.
That's an interesting one, especially considering we haven't heard from Ross Perot since that
Is he still alive?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have Wikipedia.
That's a question for dead or alive.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Forgotten Grapes for this week. Will you come back periodically and talk about other Forgotten Grapes so that we can educate people on things that they may not be familiar with?
Absolutely. That is what I do best. That is what I love to do. And I think there would be no better platform for introducing people to Forgotten Grapes than right here on Grape Encounters Radio.
Now, you have two websites that I know of. The Forgotten Grape website is alive and kicking. Where do you go for that?
ForgottenGrapes.com, ForGotten Grapes.com. And we're just launching our Forgotten Grapes Wine Club, which is going to be a lot of fun, really focused on bringing you international and domestic versions of obscure grapes on a quarterly basis. So definitely check that out.
And then you're doing something here a little closer to home that you've just launched.
I am very excited about it. It's called PasosBestWines.com. We are an online retailer devoted exclusively to Paso Robles wines and only the best small boutique wineries, doing usually about 7,000 cases or less.
And who decides what's best? Because there's a lot of wine here.
It's funny, I got asked that question yesterday, and we do have a tasting panel made up of our employees. We also look at, as much as they can be subjective, the Parker scores, the enthusiast scores, and really just overall reputation within the area. We talk to a lot of winemakers, a lot of people in town, and find out what they're drinking, what they're liking, who's selling, and really look to those particular brands.
Can I simply say this? Chris Kern, you're not a rhythm guitar player. You're a rock star. And if you by yourself chose the wines for Paso's Best, I would respect your taste.
Well, it's nice to be complimented as a rock star from another rock star. And David, if you and I were ever to go out on tour, it would rival the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour from 1988-1989.
So who would be Guns N' Roses and who would be Metallica?
How volatile are you feeling these days?
I think both of us have a little of both.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe you can be Lars and I'll be James and I can be Slash to your Axel.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, this Axel's going to come to a stop at this point in time. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters. Again, the websites are theforgottengrape.com and
PasosBestWines.com.
Yeah, check it out. The Forgotten Grape is a lot of fun, so please do that. And we'll have Chris on in the very near future. Stay with us. There's plenty more Grape Encounters coming your way.
Forever trust. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
Nothing else matters.
If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's GrapeEncounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at GrapeEncounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
Choosing a gift bottle of wine for a wine lover can be tricky, but choosing a wine accessory that the wine enthusiast in your life will really love is a snap when you log on to GrapeEncounters.com. At GrapeEncounters.com, you'll find our top 10 gift-giving picks for wine lovers, and everyone is sure to be a hit. From exotic openers to wine toolkits and even breathalyzers to ensure safety, we've got plenty of inspiration for you. If you're looking for a wine-related gift for someone special, even yourself, get inspired at GrapeEncounters.com.
This is David Wilson, and I want you to sail with me from Rome to Barcelona on one of the most luxurious cruise ships in the world, the completely reimagined Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Every year, I take listeners on a luxury voyage sure to create unforgettable memories. And next May, from the 10th to the 17th, our itinerary will include some of my favorite places on the planet. And I'll be there to make sure that your travel experience is purely amazing. Imagine visiting incomparable Rome, Florence, Portofino, Provence, and breathtaking Barcelona. The ports will be spectacular, and your elegant suite with a private patio will astound you. Book now and get 2-for-1 fares, free round-trip air, $200 shipboard credit, plus you pay nothing extra for wine, cocktails, shore excursions, even tips are included. For more information, click the link at grapeencounters.com. I've got a luxury cabin with your name on it. Click on the link now at grapeencounters.com.
Sarah, smile. Won't you smile a while for me, Sarah?
She once described a wine as a dusty old trunk from the attic, and we were all glad she was doing the sipping. It's Sipping with Sarah, with Sunset Magazine's Sarah Schneider, on Grape Encounters Radio.
Sarah, Sarah, smile.
Oh my gosh, Sarah, finally, we're together in person.
That's really good. It's been a long time.
We didn't have you for a few weeks.
You know, the holidays sort of put me out of commission this year, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, have you actually just gotten so famous that you don't have time for us anymore?
No, that's not it at all.
Public appearances across the world. Are you going to give up radio for TV?
You know, TV is not nearly as much fun as radio. You're talking into the ether, you're not seeing who's listening, but you don't have to look like anything.
Well, I actually find that I'm a lot more handsome on the radio.
I mean, we both are.
You're a looker regardless. But let's talk about what we didn't get to finish talking about last week. We were talking about really giving people permission, if they want to drink less expensive, big brand wines. And I think the gist of our conversation last week was there's a place for that.
Sure.
It's not all about having some crazy out of this world experience with wines. Sometimes you just want wine as a beverage. But one of the things that you brought up, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about it at all really last week, was the fact that when Sunset Magazine does a competition that a lot of the big producers enter, the largest is Gallo, and these are blind tastings. The judges are very credible judges. They taste the wines blind, and you were saying that these wines do very well.
They do, and the big wine companies enter competitions, I think, to tell people that we may have some cheaper wines, but many of them are very good, you know, and they do fit the bill for when you want something that you don't need to think about. Sometimes if we take an expensive, very profound wine and we drink it when there are lots of distractions around, we do it a disservice. It's too bad that you spent $60 on that bottle because you should have been enjoying it more than you really did for what it has to offer. And so I think these big companies who have ways of making more inexpensive wine consistently from year to year, and they are generally highly manipulated, but
that's where I get the heebie-jeebies, because manipulation can come in many forms.
That's true.
Like, I've been manipulated by wives and girlfriends. And that's not so bad.
We're not talking about that.
No, we're not talking about that. But you know what I'm saying? There's good manipulation and there's bad manipulation.
But where is the line?
Yeah, where is the line?
Where is the line? Let me ask you, do you think it's good manipulation when they take a fairly ripe wine? That means it probably has a higher level of sugar and therefore a higher level of alcohol. And they take out some of the alcohol?
I think de-alkalizers should be outlawed, personally.
Aha.
That you should never be allowed to reduce the alcohol in a wine.
Why would you?
You know, I've had way too many winemakers tell me, let the grapes speak for themselves, to work with the hand that is dealt you.
True.
And I really do believe that's a good thing. Now, having said that, the person who drinks a big brand that they expect to taste the same year in and year out.
Right.
Where they want that absolute continuity, where they're drinking it more as a beverage, a little manipulation and blending to keep that continuity, to keep that consumer happy, I don't have a lot of problem with, so long as the manipulation doesn't involve putting things in the wine that if we knew it was in the wine, we would protest.
You make a good point, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit because I'm actually just looking at a
list.
You
don't do a very good devil.
Let me lower my voice.
Should we do an effect on your voice so you sound like...
Yeah, please.
Or can you do red room? Okay, go ahead.
I'm actually looking at a list of the companies that won the most medals in our last competition, which was 2014. And I'm guessing that these companies, and you'll recognize all of the top ones, don't follow that work with what the grapes give you every year, because to make these inexpensive wines, they have to work with inexpensive grapes. And so they have to actually make, you know, a silk purse out of a sow's ear in a way. So just so you know who I'm talking about, number one medal winner last year for us, E&J Gallo Winery.
There's a surprise.
They make a lot of wine.
They make a ton of wine.
How many entries did they have into the competition?
You know, I'm not sure, but it was dozens and dozens and
dozens. Way more than anybody else.
Yeah. And they actually won 77 medals from us. And I do know that they entered some of their upper tier wine as well, and that accounted for some of their medals. Like the Gina Gallo series, their signature Gallo series, which Gina makes herself. I know that she won some medals there, but I also know that some Barefoot bottles won medals in that group too.
Yeah, which is what we talked about last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Number two is Constellation. They are an enormous wine and spirits company. It includes Ravenswood, and I know they won some medals both for their very expensive old vine Zinfandels as well as their County series, their Appellation series, which is less expensive. And it goes down, you know, Delicato family, Diageo, St. Michelle from Washington, Fetzer.
St. Michelle's a really interesting company. I think for a very long time, people did not realize how big that company was. I don't know what the volume is that they're making in terms of wine, but it's a bunch of wine.
It's a bunch. It's well over a million cases a year. They make almost that much just of Riesling.
And I always find their wines to be really pleasant. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're looking for a bottle of wine and the choice is only a few things and you find one of their wines on the shelf, I'll go for that every time.
I absolutely agree.
I feel like it's really consistent and really decent and just very enjoyable.
They are solid, solid winemakers, and they're also exquisite winemakers. Let's say you're looking for some of that Riesling. You know, you can get one of theirs for $8 a bottle, or their Eroica, which is probably $20 a bottle, and just a bar setter for what Riesling should be.
So what's the takeaway here?
I think that it would be smart to not diss these big wine companies, give them a shot, but find out who you think does a consistently good job for your taste, and then trust them for those Tuesday night bottles.
Do you like a McDonald's hamburger once in a while?
I have not had a McDonald's hamburger for at least 20 years.
That was the wrong question to ask. The point is, do you like a $3 hamburger once in a while? Maybe I should say that.
Very good point.
And do you sometimes get as much pleasure from that $3 hamburger as, say, a beautiful filet mignon?
On occasion? Yeah, sure.
That to me is the takeaway. Yeah. Put everything in context.
I agree.
Okay, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters this week. My thanks to the finally in-person Sarah Schneider of Sunset Magazine. And check out Sarah in Sunset Magazine or go to sunset.com.
You can actually find the whole medal list from our last year's competition so you can see who actually did well.
Oh, very good point. Okay, check that out. We'll be back here next week with Sarah. And in the meantime, maybe go out and check out a little cheap wine. You can buy 10 bottles of that for the price of what you're used to drinking. We'll see you here next week on Grape Encounters.
We like to talk about wine.